Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Hopefully you're on top of the world after a successful weekend of punting. Well, that's the plan anyway. That's what we like on Punters Postmortem, and we're freshened up. We've had our little spell. We've had our little barrier trial, and we're first up today. Looking forward to taking your calls on 13 53 53. SMSs, so that's text messages, 0419 767 272. 0419 767 272. So we'll be taking all your calls regarding everything over the weekend. Huey Bowman dropping, nearly blowing it, Huey Bowman. When he dropped his hands on Elise in the Missile Stakes. We'll take your thoughts regarding that. But she was impressive. So too the three-year-old colt Dawn Passage. Some believe going forward to the Golden Rose is a big chance at the pointy end. Others think, maybe not good enough. We're going to find out. Is Dawn Passage top shelf or not? And others return in the San Domenico, top contenders. And then down at Flemington, Sosi Bon back into the winner's stall at the big, big odds. So we had windy conditions in both Melbourne and also Sydney. But we'll take your thoughts on all things racing. The panel, Ronnie Duffersey. Good morning, Ronnie.
Yeah, good morning, TK. And at least one thing with Dawn Passage, he's got his number in the frame this time in. So he's it's advantage Dawn Passage so far. But, geez, we've got some, you know, we've got Exceedance. We've got the Waller Trio. Yes, yes, yes. Kubrick Reloaded. We're yet to see Castle Vecchio, Microphone, and Prince the Prince, Prince Fawaz. There's a heap of lovely three-year-olds around. And it's exciting times ahead coming into the Golden Rose.
There is too. Glenn Munsey. Good morning, Glenn.
Yes, good morning, TK. Good morning, Ronnie. What about the new play on, boys? On top of the world. This time last week, we were.
we were too.
Top of Australia, anyway. And what a difference to the system we've seen since we've come back. I tell you what, yes, spring is in the air. The weather's getting, well, you can't be any worse than last week, but it's a beautiful day this morning. And I tell you what, they're trotting out day after day. All the top quality horses are coming back at the moment for the 14 week, I think it is. Sydney Carnival,
yeah.
And we'll get quality racing each and every week and over that period of time.
We'll get your feedback on these trials too going ahead at Randwick, the likes of Baller in the opening heat with Nikita Jane, so they're back, happy clapper, just a nice trial there. Libertini went around in the second heat as well, so some Sunlight won the third heat, so we'll get the thoughts of our panel there. I'm glad to say that, I'm not glad to say Dean Lester's not with us. Dean Lester, a regular on Punters Postmortem for years and years and years, but it's my first time to say a big welcome to the team too for David Gately. The Gator joins us. G'day, David.
Yeah, right off the bench. Okay. happy to be here, but obviously under... not the ideal circumstances for the great man, but I'm hearing positive signs that he's on the mend, so... all fingers crossed, obviously.
Sure, we've got Dean Lester in hospital, our regular, and he's a champion of our punters, Gator. So we wish him a speedy recovery, but that is the word, that he's heading in the right direction, which is terrific.
Yeah, 100%. And as we're all wishing him the best and fingers crossed, and I'd say positive signs in the last few days.
I've got to say, I don't know whether even the great Dino could have found Sosi Bon on the weekend.
No, it's funny, I was sort of joking in between races with Mark yesterday on Sky One, and I said, I reckon if you tip Sosi Bon on Saturday, I wouldn't be boasting about it. He might be one, I'd just let go and just take the money and hide. But look, he's obviously been tough to catch, but what he has been able to do over his journey is run some terrific closing sectionals, like group class splits. Yeah. The problem is there's often a horse in front of him at the end.
Mm. We're still trying to work out what his best distance is.
Yeah. I mean,
they even had a crack at 2500, didn't they, as a 3-year-old? So that's certainly not it anymore. But you know, maybe they short, sharp, kept fresh off good speeds might be the recipe.
I think fresh is the key. You mentioned that word, Gator. His best form is fresh.
Yeah, and so they may have found the key to him. You know, obviously being gelded now, and as I say, I mean, if you got that sort of closing speed, clearly you're a group class animal. He proved that on Saturday. Things panned out really well, as they probably have to do for him.
Yeah.
But, look, he had to chase really hard because Malibu Style was into the fight.
And that was the feature down there, the Aury Star. The feature up here, Duff, was Elise in the missile. And there was the drama with Huey Bowman just dropping his hands ever so slightly. And, geez, she stopped pretty quick. And the stewards, well, they had no other choice. They had to call Huey in.
Yeah, they just chipped him. Let's face it, she was always in control. I don't think she was in danger of losing the race, and she was probably out on her feet after making a mid-race move there. Like I said earlier, look, she got the job done. She looks, she's big and round, and the coat's not there yet, so it's all plus, plus, plus as far as improvement to come. But I still feel she has to on that, and I think everyone would agree. So, job done. Let's just see what she does next time, and we can assess her off that.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of an overreaction to give her a savage trim in the Everest. She hasn't got a slot yet.
Yeah, I would have pushed her out a bit.
Yeah. And you know,
well, she's 15s into weights, isn't she?
Yeah, that's a massive overreaction. When you're considering she was $1.30, Chets, they're expected to win. So how does she become half the price for winning as $1.30, Chets, that she fell in when she's got to go into a tougher race and she hasn't got a slot at the moment?
Hey, hang on. They're your men. What are you bagging them now?
You're bagging your own men,
your colleagues.
I think it was a massive overreaction that she firmed.
I think that's a stunning rebuke you've launched.
We've been
upon
there long enough, Glenn, to know that anything that wins firms, because they're the name on everyone's tongue, really. So that's what happens. We'll see another winner next week. It'll firm, and the rest will get back. A couple others will get back out again. Yeah. It won't be long before she's trading back where she was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only new to this game, Ron. So you know, I don't really know. I haven't done that sort of thing before. Yeah.
You wouldn't have. Would you have turned her out from 15s instead of going into 8s?
Well, I would have left it there at worst.
Right. Yeah, because she did what was expected of her. That's what you
said. As I said, she was $1.30 chance in a field of 5 and beat the second outsider by a wart.
Yeah.
The second pick went awful. You know, the third pick never went much better, Le Romaine. And, you know, she wasn't overly impressive. She's got a massive amount of improvement in her.
Yeah.
But she doesn't become half the odds in a much, much tougher race and in a race at this stage where she hasn't got a run.
Okay. It's a fair call. And the other thing is she didn't really smash the clock on Saturday, did she, Duff? I mean, I was expecting her to be, you know, to sort of light up the scoreboard the last sort of 600, given she sustained that run. But as you say, there's so much room to move for her. It's a long prep. But I was probably expecting a little more substance on the clock. That was all.
Yeah, I guess the 19th of October is a long, long way away. And as you mentioned, hasn't exactly set the world on fire there, Elise. Hasn't got a slot yet. But Gator, welcome to Punters Postmortem. He's just savaged his own people.
He's come out swinging, hasn't he? I didn't expect this. I would have bought a helmet and all sorts of things.
now, Gator, just welcome to Sky and welcome to Tabcorp. You know,
That's how we rock.
Yeah, this is how we roll here. This is the new age. When they said you don't have to work every day, but just the ones with a Y in it, you should have realised, mate. You know, you're here playing first grade now. You're not in the Reggies.
No, they're trying to invent an 8-day week, I hear. So we'll see how we go with
that. Yeah, well, I'll lend you a couple of days. I can cut back from 11.
So, okay, if Elise's gone from 15s into 8s with the Everest, just give us that market for the 19th of October, Glenn.
Righto, Santa Ana Lane, the favourite for the Tab Everest at $5 over Osborne Bulls. He's a $7 chance. Elise sits on the same line of betting as Pirata as an $8 chance, and we saw him trial at Warwick Farm the other day. Classique Legend was due to go around in the trials this morning. Just a little bit of a nasal discharge there, and Carmel Sy said last night that won't be going around this morning. It's a $9 chance. Well, Sunlight, she was very impressive in trialing this morning. Sat outside the lead and did as what you expect. She's a $9 chance as well. Then we go to Acadia Queen, was down to trial this morning, but Chris said no thank you. It's an $11 chance with Red Zell. And then we go to Enticing Star, another one that was due to trial this morning, but Chris has pulled her out. It's at 15 within her time. The Import 10 Sovereigns at 15, Zoo Style, the Brisbane Galloper for Tony Gollan at 15, and then you get to the $26 chances. That's the Tab Everest for Saturday, October 19.
Yeah, Gator, I know it's a long, long way away, mate, but we're quite fascinated with the Everest, as the public is, by the way, generally. Oh. Do you have early thoughts there?
Well, look, I've mentioned a number of times that I thought Santa Ana Lane deserves the top seed at the moment if you're seeding them. The other side of that coin is that you probably can argue he's not getting any better now. You know, he's reached his mark, which is exceptional, world class. Whereas some of these up-and-comers, it's how much room they've got to grow and improve, which will be the great test. And, you know, he can handle wet ground to some extent, but super wet, and he's no good. So I would have him top seed today, and I do, but there are other factors that need to be taken into account if you want to take an early prize.
Yeah, sure. Duff?
I think it's going to... Well, it's already developed into an intriguing race. All I'm going to say is there's... The unders in the race are Elise, Zoo Style and Red Zell.
Zoo Style's missing a digit.
Yeah. And Red Zell's got to show that he's come back. I know he trialled out the blinkers again the other day.
Sure.
So I just want to see them with their lead-up runs because I think they're all talented enough to win an Everest.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by the Perth mares. I love them. I know a lot of people are completely opposing them, but I'm not. And I'm keen to see how Classic Legend comes back. And I agree with Gator, we've already got a go-to favourite.
Yep, sure. So Arcadia Queen and Enticing Star are the Perth horses you're talking about. They've already got slots. Elise, we saw on the weekend, hasn't got a slot from Godolphin. And Osborne Bulls is the second favourite, $7. Hasn't got a slot yet. They own one slot now. Could they still have two runners?
Well, there's one, James Harron's yet to make a move.
So they could have, couldn't they? They could do a deal and Godolphin could still have two runners, one in their own slot and one in a James Harron slot.
Yeah, I think James Harron's in a good position to find an informed
horse. I agree.
He's got to just stay patient now and they'll all be kissing and cuddling him and he'll make a move when he thinks it's right.
And Gator, I think this is one of the great talking points as well, not only the race itself, but the deals that are done, you know, with the slot holders. Everyone's gone off... sort of crashed through the barriers a little bit here, you know, where many people thought the practice would be to wait and get the hot sprinters at the particular time.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's, you know, they time their run in all sports, don't they? I mean,
yeah, that's right.
It's no good peaking 2 years from home. I saw Kate Campbell smash the world record again the other night. But, you know, it's still 12 months away, the Olympics, and it's a similar sort of metaphor, isn't it, in racing parlance. So, I think they want a pony, but look, if it was me, I'd be waiting to get the peak performance closer to home.
Okay.
Eight of the top 12 in the market have guaranteed slots.
Yep.
Two of the other top 12 are Godolphin horses, Osborne Bulls and Elise. And then the other two, 10 Sovereigns, a massive question mark whether it actually gets here. And the next one is Zoo Style.
Okay, so this is it. If you had to make your pick now and you don't. Right, between the two Godolphin horses. Ronnie, what would you do? Now.
As far as...
You can only start one.
It has to be Osborne Bulls.
Yeah, five-time runner-up at the Group 1 level. Yeah. That's how I would go, Glenn.
Definitely Osborne Bulls, because the thing is, James has got to... If Elise is going to run in a 1,200-metre race and she's already had a run under her belt, she's got to have an ease up again.
Yeah, yep.
She's got to go into the race mad fresh, because the longer she gets into a preparation, she's looking for longer. Okay. She's 4 from 5 first up. The only time she was beaten first up was a first run in a race when she never had a massive amount of luck. So she's telling you she's a mad fresh horse.
Okay, and there you go. James Cummings getting a bit of advice there from Glenn, which would be handy for him. And what about
you,
Gator?
To John O'Shea.
Have they shut the door on their three-year-old microphone? Have they completely slammed the door on that?
I don't know. I'd never. You never say no in racing, do you?
No, you never do. But I suppose being a
it's a $51 chance.
Yeah, would they be looking to start a three-year-old out of his own age group when they've got seasoned horses there when he can run in his own against his own team?
Yeah,
he might be stronger over further too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The other one out of the weekend, Dawn Passage. I thought was super good. Is it the next big thing or not, winning the listed Rosebud there, three-year-old colt? It was very, very good, from second last on the home corner to first. It's its second win from three starts. It's headed to the Golden Rose on September 28. What are you saying, Ronnie?
I'm saying no. I think I'm not saying he's not a good horse.
No.
As far as being the Golden Rose winner already, no. He was... professional in what he did, and I love his strength late, and it was a good win, but I'll say he's a good horse, not a dominant horse.
Okay. Gator?
Yeah, look, my concern was 1.3 lengths over six of them.
Yeah.
When you get a fierce run race like that, and they were about 5.5 lengths above, you know, the group, or the listed average, as it turns out, They normally spread eagle a bit, and it brings the good ones to the fore. So either they're all really good, or they're all below, I wouldn't say average, but they're certainly not elite. It's one of those two things.
All right. Where does Dawn Passage sit in the market for the Golden Rose, Glenn? That's on September 28.
Yeah, well, the Golden Rose market as it sits at the moment, exceedance, and there are question marks regarding whether it's going to stay in Sydney, exceedance. It's an $8 chance over Yes, 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 who's had the trial, and a lot of people hanging on for it to make a reappearance. Then we've got Castle Vecchio and Dawn Passage, $11 each of two, and then a stack of them at 15. Cosmic Force, Kubrick, Microphone, Prince Fawazi was scratched this morning from the trials, and Time to Rain. Now, didn't he... did he have a problem after he trialled the other day?
Just a bad blood count, I think.
Oh, okay. Right, and a note here from our roving reporter, Chris Roots, on the tarmac at Mascot, about to go to lunch with Coolmore. Microphone not starting until the Roman Consul. Coolmore the target, no Everest.
Okay,
no Everest there. No Everest there.
You
so,
can't win it if you're not in it.
No, it's a bit hard, makes it difficult. It's
and can I ask you this, Duff? This vicious rumour going round.
About, plenty of them.
About your coffee order on the weekend.
No, that was your man.
No,
it was my man, Dave Stanley.
Yeah, Piccolo.
So you
with
tweeted that
milk.
Out, did you? The almond milk.
Yeah. I was sitting next to him, and the girls come around and say, you want a coffee? I said, yeah, I'll have a, a cap of short black.
Turmeric latte with caramel milk.
And gets to Dave Stanley, said, can you get me an almond milk Piccolo? Oh, I nearly fainted.
Stop it.
Yeah, no, and you know what?
They would know what it was.
Tell me it's not true.
Like.
Yeah, no one offered to go and get a Pepsi Max. They had to get all these weird ground dirt and hot waters. And no one even. And the Pepsi Max was costing them nothing. You should have seen them trying to pay for it. It was a Mexican standoff. You've never seen four people actually. Their hands just went by their sides. It was like a gunfight in the OK Corral. They were waiting for the. No one wanted to hit the pocket.
But
I didn't even know that almond was a milk.
Me neither. Anyway,
how do you squeeze an almond?
I'm shocked he got it.
Oh, unbelievable. That's just the change.
And he actually did ask, did they have skim almond milk?
Yeah. He did not.
Yeah.
He did. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know. What about Nash Rarilla? This was a good ride, wasn't it, Duff, on Sweet Deal?
Beautiful ride. It wasn't at the 300 when we were all yelling and screaming at him, but... he was just waiting for that horse to drop off outside him just to pounce. And she's probably better with a little sit there anyway. That was just her race. That wasn't a strong race, a benchmark 88, coming mid to end of winter. But she found a race and capitalised on it pretty well.
Yeah, just the further the race went on, the race got better and better for her. She jumped in front and Fortensky came across. Top Striker eventually went forward. Got Unders eventually went forward. And Nash just come up. She just come back underneath Nash. And he said, oh, how good's this? I found three here that want to go forward eventually. They didn't go hard. And that's what she revels when she gets that little smother. And she does seem to go best at Rose Hill. And it was interesting. John said in the interview, she seems to go better at Rose Hill because it naturally is a little firmer than Randwick.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think she's a dry tracker.
Dry,
I think
for sure.
She's not inept wet, but she's just much better on top of the ground. And getting that cosy run off that lead speed, I mean, that was barrier trial speed. I think 12 lengths below average. So things panned out really well. Sprinted home quickest last 200 of the day, though.
Yeah. So those horses with the bad racing style, your Drakenfels and Valentino Rosses, they're always going to do that when they get in fields like that. So they've always got excuses, but they've just got that pattern that doesn't bring them into play.
What about the big plunge that came off, Glenn, with Prime Candidate? Did that hurt?
It did.
What was it? Eight to five?
About
maybe?
$8.50 to $5 late. Okay. But it had always sat around sort of $5 or $6. It got out very, very quickly. And then sort of came back in. And I suppose when they looked at the race and went, what are we left with here? It was sort of the next go-to runner that they'd let get out too far. Well, Dawn, I think you'll find, well, it went up as much as about $11 or $12. And I know plenty of people found Dawn. But I noticed on the NOP, it went up $6.50 to $7. On the on-track prices, Dawn went up $4.80. And next minute was $4.80 to $8 on track and then came back in. So in the last few minutes, of betting, I think they realised that a lot of those runners had got out too much, and there was a race to get the favourite out, Black Magnum, who got beat a furlong.
What happened so, there? It was the disappointing runner of the entire day, wasn't it?
Well, Nashed was. He said he was very, very concerned considering the run that it had coming to the corner, and as soon as they straightened up, he knew he was gone.
Yeah.
I spoke to Mark Newnham about probably half an hour after the race, and he said the horse is 100%. He's got no idea why he went as bad as he did, but the, you know, they'll go over him and everything like that. But you know, he did have a very, very tough run. He was going from Wednesday grade to Saturday grade and carrying 59.5.
Yeah, sorry, Duff.
He had a no excuse. He had a tough run, but you don't still puncture on the point of the turn.
No.
If you drop out at the 100, you blame the run.
Yeah.
That was an awful performance.
Yeah.
There's just not right there. I know he was going from Wednesday to Saturday and up to 1,200, but that was just too bad to be true. I thought that winner was the most impressive winner of the day, considering his second
prime candidate.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and he sort of did it both ends, and I think he's got room for improvement as well. He's a nice horse.
What sort of target? Would he just go through the grades? What sort of target would he have?
No, he wouldn't have a target. He's a benchmark.
Yeah. So he'd just go up.
He'd just cruise along and get to a... You know, eventually get to an 88 or something rating by the end of the prep.
Speaking of targets, this is an unfortunate one, Gator, if I can get you. Poor old Tom Sadler, he's been taken to hospital. He's on his way to, he's getting his broken leg fixed. And he said, it's more painful. I think he sort of, I'm just paraphrasing this. It's more painful trying to explain to people how I got a broken leg without falling off a horse.
Yeah, the poor thing. He's had a tough run, hasn't he, the last couple of years. He's such a great horseman. I think we all respect that aspect of Tom's work. But I was watching him again on the Sky One yesterday, and he looked at ease, didn't he? He looked like he was about to order a coffee. I don't know about the piccolo thing, but I think he was about to... He didn't look in any sort of major distress, but obviously, yeah, it's not ideal for Tom.
He got hit by a hoof of a fallen horse.
Yeah. That'd slow you up, though.
Oh, what? Of course it would. So we wish him a speedy recovery, but he's going to be out, unfortunately, for an extended period there, Tom Sadler, after falling in that steeplechase at Casterton yesterday. And Blake Shin is settling in well in Sha Tin, just punching a few round in track work as well. It's now 9:32. That means it's check out the sporting headlines time with Madison.
Morning to you, Terry. Well, Sonny Bill Williams is looming as New Zealand's go-to man for next weekend's deciding Bledisloe Cup match in Auckland after the All Blacks were torn to shreds by Australia's rampant backline in the series opener on the weekend. Roosters coach Trent Robinson has taken aim at the NRL strip rule, criticising the rise in one-on-one tackles and questioning whether it adds to value. While a stunning performance from Cameron Munster saw Melbourne claim a 26-16 win over South Sydney yesterday afternoon. Robbie Farah may have played his last game of his career after the West Tigers confirmed he has fractured part of his tibia. And Serena Williams retired this morning with a back injury in the final of the Rogers Cup in Toronto, handing the title to Canadian teenager Bianca Andreescu. That's all the latest on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Excludes Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
Sky Sports Radio talks harness and greyhound racing every morning on Racing HQ. Monday to Friday, catch On the Pace and Going Greyhounds for the latest race news and interviews around your wagering day. For racing followers, weekday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
On the racetrack, living on the edge.
If I'm not firing nails, I'm not making money. I've got no time for downtime. But with a PAS load, Impulse Frame Masters reliability and high-speed performance, I power through the day. And because they're lighter, the job gets done faster and easier every time. PAS load tools are made to work. Check them out at pasload.com.au now or follow their socials at PASLOADANZ. I'm making it with PAS load. Reliability, comfort, performance.
Sky Sports Radio heads to the Central Districts on Friday. It's Dubbo's turn to take centre stage with the preludes for the Cup and Cup Sprint in preparation for the big day September 15th. Get your full Dubbo preview from 10 Friday morning on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio with the latest winning info right now on Racing HQ.
We are back after a little bit of a spell, punish post-mortem on this Monday morning, and good to have Glenn Munsey, Ronnie Duffersey and also David Gately on board, which is terrific. We're going to take your calls if you've got any queries for the boys. 13 53 53. I'll get through a stack of text messages we've got. 0419 767 272. And we spoke a lot about the odds on pop-up here. Just getting home, really, after Huey dropped his hands a little bit on Elise. That was a $1.30, $1.35 chance. What about Mr. Pendant back in race 7 down at Flemington? Odds on, won by just a nose. It was a desperate ride by Damien Oliver there, Gator.
Yeah, it was. And look, he can get him over the line, can't he? Joked that can he win in a photo and they not be lifted by Oliver? But look, she has great. She's got what she did. Show a great will to win. She had to sustain a long run. Took the entire straight to get there, but got there. An above average mare, no doubt. Not a star, but certainly above average.
Yeah. What about this? Can I call Emerging Galloper from Tassie the inevitable? It was about an $8 chance. It got the chocolates, and I think it won the Tassie Guineas.
Yeah, that's right. And then it was a terrific win in the lead-up to the Guineas down here. Beat a good field that day and covered ground. So there's obviously good talent there. What I thought on going into Saturday, would the 1,000 metres be a bit sharp? And, the answer was no, as it turns out, because he was able to chase down Assertive Approach. He looked to be cruising in the lead, but the times don't really back that up. He's actually rolled along about a length and change above the class average, so he wasn't loafing. And Dwayne Dunn, nursed. You could argue for too long, but then Neperville was able to get the cover on his back on a day where there was high wind, remember?
Yeah.
And stalk him and nail him. But that's not taking anything away from the winner, but I think the difference in the softness of the runs was the difference on the line.
Yeah.
And one of the great post-race interviews by Scotty Brunton, showing his concern how he felt in the first part of the mid part of the race. I won't go into his comments.
I missed that.
I won't go into his comments because someone will write a letter and I'll have to go to HR about it. But
again.
Yeah, again.
he probably hasn't got a job with Hallmark lined up just right at the minute.
But it was a very, very good comment.
Yeah, it was. It was great stuff. But his horses run home 11:44. It was the quickest of the day. Well above average. A pretty handy group of three-year-olds here. Now four.
Yeah, just that line is still good for Gator.
Oh, we lost me.
Oh, no, you're good. They're good there, mate. We're going to the open line for the first time, 13 53 53. We'll take your call, so just call and you'll get straight to air. Hi, Special Source.
Yeah, great, boys. Love the show. My thoughts go out to Dino. Speedy recovery, big fella.
We wish him all a speedy recovery. Dean Lester, who's heading in the right direction after a bout in hospital.
Just on some statues that are erected at TAB headquarters, there's a few that's had to be taken down of recent times because the horses have won, like the Sosi Bonds, that statue's going to come down.
Okay, that's gone, yeah.
Hogmanay.
Yeah, he won.
New Universe with that great female jockey, Linda Meach, it's going to have to come down. But there's one that's going to have to go up, Drakenfels.
Oh, he's been up for a while. Yeah.
He's only a poster, isn't he, at the moment?
He's been measured up.
Okay, all right.
You say statues like Sosi Bond and Hogmanay, but they don't start in the market regularly. You know, to earn statue status, you have to be hard in the market at your runs, like a Tommy Melbourne.
Tommy's the most best, isn't he?
Drakenfels.
In the trial today.
Yeah, there was only two runners.
just a question for Ronnie, boys, if that's all right.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
With Elise, she sort of, I don't know whether she's that next great horse or is she just going to be handy. She looks brilliant sometimes and then other times you just think, oh, she's just going to be, that group class sprinter. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I don't know if she's going to be the next big thing because, she's
not a young, she's not a young mare. I think probably best is, as Glenn said earlier, just keeping that little bit of bit fresh. I still feel that that wasn't her style on Saturday. She sits back, and it doesn't matter about sectionals with her because she runs her own, and she you know savages the line late. And maybe just spend a few of his... But Huey didn't want to make a mistake. He knew he was on the best mare, and he made an early move. And it probably wasn't the ideal thing to do, but looking at the results, it was, because she got the money. But I think she'll go better, but I don't know whether she's the next best thing, big thing.
Enjoy your day, boys.
Good on you, mate. Right. Well done.
I know you shouldn't compare times, and Gator, you'll help me out here, especially different days, different tracks and everything like that. But when she won first up last year in the Expressway, on a soft seven, she ran 1:11.32, came from last, and the last 600 was 34.38. On a good four Saturday, they ran 1:11.25, so fractionally faster, which tells you, they haven't gone that fast if they're running the same time as they did on a soft seven. And she came home 34.87.
Different days. I think he's really treacherous. What the little, not the concern, but the, I think if you really wanted to go and back her in an Everest, I'd be worried by the fact on Saturday that horses like Hercury on Air and the one you mentioned earlier, Prime Candidate, actually rated better than her on the day. Yeah. And she's the Group 1 horse out of them. So, and I know it was an odd race and she made an early move and was, so look, it's not conclusive and it's not disastrous. But I expected to go back to the clock and say, wowee, but that didn't happen on Saturday.
Yeah, that's all fair enough. We'll get everyone to buy in on 13:53:53, taking your calls. By the way, Hort Beyond Her notched four straight wins. It's a good effort. Good efforts. Well, starting at $1.65, but still to win four in a row is not easy. Hi, Chris. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I got a question for you guys. The change in prize money for the Everest, the bottom seven horses getting... An extra 100,000, bringing it up to 400,000. What is the point of it?
I think it just might even the spread and eases the losses on the connections or the slot holders that put their money up. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it'll help with longevity of the race.
But I guess my question is, it costs $600,000 now for a slot. And they're going to give you back at least $400,000. So the most you can lose is 33%. Is that necessarily going to make it a better race, or are they going to think some of these owners or slot holders, I'm only going to lose $200,000 anyway. I may as well put my horse in, even if it's maybe not as good as a few other horses.
I don't think so. I still think everyone wants the big prize at the end, because it is a big. It's one of the biggest prizes. What's the biggest prize of the year? And you want the right horse running for you.
Do they think the price, the plot is going to go up then because of this? Is that what Valandis is hoping, or they're hoping that the price for each slot will go up because there's a guaranteed $400,000?
I think it'll be more. Maybe they might increase runners. Eventually, another couple of runners.
So there'd be another couple of slots up for grabs, and
another couple of slots up for grabs. I think. While this race is turning over and paying for itself, as far as getting everyone to the track and the turnover on the race and
Everest Day turnover was enormous, Chris.
It's been a fantastic innovation.
We've got to just sustain that for the next 5 years, and then we're all talking about it for 6 months of the year, and they're getting their slots in early, and I think why the race keeps turning over, whether. If one day we get a sprinting champion, that's when we might find trouble with the race.
I think that's what they're safeguarding against, Ronnie, by spreading out the prize 100%. Money. If they get a Haylist or a Black Caviar, you don't want a field of three. If they think they can't win it,
Exactly right.
It's interesting. I just don't think it's going to improve the quality of the race. If anything, I think maybe some of the slot holders might take a shortcut there and think, no, I'm not buggered. I'll just put my chap in and see what happens.
There's so many variables. It's all about sometimes when someone picks a bad horse, what we perceive as a bad horse with better options, it might be coming down to a better deal for the slot holder, and that's what it's all about. He owns the slot or she owns the slot. whatever, and they just do the best deal for themselves. And sometimes they might want to take a lesser angle for a better deal for themselves.
And that's all part of the great tapestry, isn't it, that goes up. But I would imagine all those slots would be worth more than the $600,000 a year.
Well, they should be.
They're not all going to be winners. Put it that
no,
way.
No. But you still own that slot. You're a chance of being the winner of the largest share of the 14 million.
100%.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good on you, Chris. 13:53:53. Geez, it's a race that creates some great debate, isn't it? And all the machinations that go with it as well. Quick one for you, Gator, if I possibly can. Hi, boys. I've noticed Stubby Holder isn't riding much in Adelaide. Is there a reason for this? Heavyweight injury, out of form? I think he's a great jockey from the bat.
I think he's a great jockey, but I can't answer his question.
Yeah.
More an Andrew Bensley sort of wheelhouse, that one.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Our listeners are pretty good.
One of our listeners will know for sure on 13:53:53. Here we go. Good morning, boys. Just wondering if you could give me an update on Brooklyn Hustle. Cheers, Max. Anyone help us there?
No, can't help you. They haven't seen it at the trials or jump outs down here, but I haven't really been looking for it either. Until they turn up in the noms, I don't really search for them, but... I'll see what I can find.
Oh, Gator, wait till you listen to Kurt. He'll probably join us later. If you like Brooklyn Hustle's like, it's like a Kingston Town profile compared to some of the horses that Kurt will come up and query you about. Gator, this one comes in from John for Gator. Twilight Run, any excuses?
Look, they saw it was a tough track at Flemington on Saturday. The times we get a heavy track there are few and far between. So I think you could probably just put it down to that being the excuse. But I do have some reservations now on how good the horse is. I think that's safe to say.
All right. Okay. So reservations. Let's get back to the open line. Craig. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. How are you going? Just a question for Glenn Munsey.
Yes, mate. Where you go?
Last Wednesday, I had an all-up on the Tuesday night at Canterbury. $20 all-up, all too free into what could be. The $20 combination resulted in $2,100.
Yep.
Now, as you're aware, both won. And when I refreshed my button after the race, I got $1,450. Now, $650 in deductions for a $20 bet is quite sizable, I would have thought.
Well, here we go, mate. In all two freeze race, Adana was a scratching. It was a $4.40 chance. Bel Diablo was a $17 chance. Secret Lady was a $16 chance. That's 21.26. 31% came out of that race. Throw in No Interest as well at $51 and Calabasas at $26. So there's nearly 40% out of the market in that race. In What Could Be's race, God of Thunder, were you on it before or after God of Thunder came out, the $2.80 favourite?
I put it on Tuesday night.
Right. Well, also, Clear the Beach came out of that $26. Irish Songs at $6.50. Sebring Express at $15. Yeah. And Second Island at $12. Mate, it's all about deductions. Right. It's all about deductions. If you're betting into full field and full field, you know, that's it. But, mate, as soon as you get a scratching, you get deductions. That's the way of betting.
Even though that horse, I put it on at what could be I put on was at 14-1 at the time, and it's blown to 26s.
Well, mate, that's no one's fault that it blows to 26. You know, I backed a horse on Saturday, was $11 on Saturday morning. I took $26 at the races.
Right.
Yeah, that's all the market. Right, the market moves. The market goes in and out and backwards and sideways.
I just thought for 20 it was quite sizable and I wanted to just
That's it is, mate. All it is, when you see on the bottom there, refunds and deductions.
The alternative is, Craig, of course, if there weren't the scratchings, you may have never got the chocolates anyway.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you know what I mean? Like, your bet is
you can't take the top of the market every bet you have.
Correct.
All right, no worries.
All right, no worries, Craig. There you go. Geez, you sort of savaged him a little bit, Glenn.
Well,
he's only asking a question. I mean,
well, I'm only waiting now for, you know, he might have had the same horse to win two races.
Gator.
Yep.
Wait till we get to Melbourne Cup time, right? And we get the old... Why if I have the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup double, the same horse, why do I only get half the dividend? Wait till we get to that discussion. You'll enjoy that.
Yeah, no, I'll record it.
Yeah, we've had it every year for how long?
Oh, how long have we been on? In fact, before that.
And you know what? I'm not going to go there, but I've never really got a got an excuse that I'm satisfied with. Anyway, it's another matter. We'll do that later on in spring.
Well, you want to go back to 19... What was Rising Fast? 1950 what?
I don't know.
That's when it all started.
I don't know.
Even I wasn't born then.
Hey, Gator, here's one for you. Is Caesars form in Sydney overrated given its poor performance in Melbourne? Or it's mainly due to the track? Thanks, Tony. And get well soon, Dino. Geez, it weaved through the field. Geez, it was a nice run on the weekend. Unsuccessful, but a nice run.
No, I agree. He ran really well. I guess it's all down to expectation, isn't it? I mean, if you're expecting him to win and win brilliantly, then I guess you're disappointed. But taking price out of it and emotion out of it, he's run a very good race.
Yeah.
What he didn't do and what he doesn't do, except when he's first up, is quicken. And that's a problem. Like, his sectionals tell the story. He was, something like 8th fastest, 4 to the 2, and then zoomed late. I know he's held up a touch, but he brought it on himself a little bit too by his inability to quicken. Now, right. When he's fresh and feeling good and he gets a wet track, he explodes. So maybe that's just the key to him. Fresh, wet tracks, and then that's when you load up.
Again, easy for me to say he ran well because I wasn't on him, you know, and I didn't have to. He finished third, but I thought it was still a nice run. Guys, do you know when Godolphin are going, where they're going with Pandemic? Any idea there, Duff? Or?
No, I don't know where they're going. They haven't come out and said anything about that.
All right, we'll keep an eye on
just
that.
Just on that Holder thing, he did ride in South Australia last Saturday, I'm made aware of, and someone else said he may have got injured last Saturday. So.
Okay.
So he's around. He was around. Right. He rode last week.
We should mention Brooklyn Hustle did win a trial nicely. I just looked that up. Won a trial nicely last week, so he looks to have come back in good order based on that. But he didn't beat anything in the heat, but he looked good.
Okay, all right.
Pandemic's a Godolphin runner that had had 4 trials that won a maiden at Wyong on the 23rd of July.
Can I just say, now with my new Sky Racing Active app, so I can sort of put that Brooklyn Hustle in there, and of course I'll get a notification when it sort of turns all out. So it's all working beautifully well. It's a work in progress. Duff, how are you coping with the Sky Racing Active app?
I've had a little fiddle download and fiddle with it.
What about the app? Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I find that good as well.
Yeah, it just takes you a while to set it up how you want it.
I'll have another muck around with it this week, but I like it. I think it's a great innovation.
And then you can fashion your own sort of playlist, so it's a terrific innovation, really is. Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Fellas?
Yeah, really well, Scott.
That's good. I've got a question for all of you. James Cummings' horse, Avilius. I don't know where he's going to put him in and what races, but would he be a Cox Plate Melbourne Cup horse this year?
I'd say he's a Cox Plate horse. I don't know. What James's main target would be?
Well, he's the equal favourite for the Caulfield Cup with Arm on Eye. He'd be right up there in the market for the Cox Plate as well, wouldn't he, Glenn?
Let me go and have a look at the Cox
Plate. Avilius is the favourite for the Cox Plate at $6 with Mystic Journey, the Taswegian.
Yeah. He'd be aiming to the top, but I'd say, you know, as you said, the Caulfield Cups and Cox Plates and...
He'd be hoping for a little bit better luck if he did run in the Melbourne Cup than he had last year when he got put out of play on the first turn.
Well, he's second favourite for the Melbourne Cup. So your answer, Scott, is he's in play for all the major races right throughout the spring, Scott.
Righty-o.
Yeah.
And what do you reckon of him? He's a pretty good horse, isn't he?
He's really only ever had one, you wouldn't even call it a, well, the Melbourne Cup run, totally disregard whatever happened to him in the Melbourne Cup. As I said, he was put out of play on the first turn.
On the turn.
Just past the winning post when the order of St. George broke
right
down
in front of him.
Right in front of us, yeah.
There's still a query on him at 3,200, though, isn't there? I mean,
yeah.
he's such a brilliant horse that not many of them then are brilliant at 3,200 as well. And we saw that with So You Think and a million others.
Yeah. He won the Bart Cummings, and that's the Tancred. So he's won a 2,400, and he's won a 2,500, and then he went straight out of the Cox Plate into the Melbourne Cup. So he was trying to do, albeit he didn't win the Cox Plate. He had Winks to run into.
He went
the Bart Cummings, came back in trip for the Cox Plate, and then went up to the Melbourne Cup. And I know plenty of people thought he'd run very, very well in the Melbourne Cup, but we'll never know because he never had a chance.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah, because I was on him that day too. Like you said, he got, that was the end of him, his proceedings once he went up the order of St George, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Glenn Schofield's nearly calmed down after what happened to him in the Melbourne Cup.
It was a tragedy. Well, it wasn't a tragedy, as Richie Benno told Slats, the Titanic was a tragedy. Sorry, Scott?
He goes to the Caulfield Cup, and just for an example, he wins it. He'd get penalised too much to go into the Melbourne anyway, wouldn't he?
Oh,
he'd certainly get a penalty.
Yeah. Well, plus, you'd only get half your odds if you had a Villiers into a Villiers. But that's a matter for another show. Scott, thanks for your call, 13-53-53. Word of warning here, Gator. Yep. Kurt's about to come on the air, right?
All right. Good.
All right. So just get your thinking cap on. Kurt, go easy on Gator. It's his first time, all right?
Morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Kurt.
How's the designated ball shiner going, Terry?
It's going good.
You're going good, buddy. You're passing the questions off left, right and centre beautifully, mate.
Thank you, Kurt. No sandpaper here, buddy.
No, yes, good Kurt. On you, boys. Ronnie?
Yes, Kurt?
I got to tell you, I've made it my aim for ages up here in Sydney, Ronnie, and you know I live in the guts of Sydney here in Paddo, to find a horse watering hole. Because one thing, they got it better than us down there, Ronnie, in Mexico land. They have these... thing, they have their horsing pubs, don't they, Ronnie?
Well, what about the Doncaster over there?
Look, the Friday before the Donny, absolutely. Other than that, I've got mates that come up there always, and they're always bagging me about how we haven't got any, and they've got them all year round, Terry. What are they, the Empire or something, Dave? What are they called?
The Emerald.
The Emerald.
Haven't we just put a big tab down in the Bellevue? Glenn,
Look, we haven't got... Terry, if we have one, it'd be obvious and it'd roll off your tongue. Do we have one?
Well, mate, I'm a battler from the other side of the harbour. How would happens
the
in
the east?
How many
times I go into the city in the eastern suburbs to go to court?
Well, listen, this is the whole point of... Ronnie, I found one, buddy.
Where is it, Kurt?
I found one, and it's very apt as well, but I didn't choose it for that reason. It's in Paddo. It's not a pub, Ronnie.
Yep.
It's a little eatery that's just opened up, not just maybe about before we broke up on air, Ronnie. Anyway, I found it whilst we'd broken up here on Punners Post Mortem. It's in Victoria Street, Ronnie.
I know where that is.
You know it?
Yep. No. What's the place?
It's called the Stables, Ronnie.
Oh yeah.
Have you been there already?
Do they sell our almond milk piccolos there?
You're kidding, are you, Ronnie? It's very modern new school, because I usually go to places like Beppi's and that, but this is like modern era.
Jeez, you're flying, Kurt.
Ronnie, you know how you got tapas? You know how their special is, you know how you got tapas, Spanish is tapas?
Yeah.
Well, they've got Australian barbecue tapas, so whatever you want, it doesn't have to be their, what do they call it in Spanish,
The tapas.
This is Australian barbecue, so fresh, scampi, straight out of the ocean, all this, and I've already made it into the pub. All the boys, we've started it, Ronnie. It's going off already. We go all there right. before we go to Ream.
I'm going, Kurt. I'm going to go and have a look at it.
Well, you know your food. There's no doubt about that, Ronnie.
And Ronnie
now,
I
Kurt,
know,
Kurt,
Ronnie,
have you got a horse for us?
Yeah, hang on, Ronnie. I know you love your wine as well. It's got a great wine list as well, Ronnie.
Oh, beautiful.
Has it got Chardonnay? You won't drink anything else?
No.
It's not a plug, Ronnie. It's
not a plug.
It's not.
No, I'm just saying, I don't go around the spricking places besides Beppies. That's the best of them all. But this,
I agree.
It's going
You must
off.
Back a lot of winners.
They have a drive-through.
It's not hard to forget anyway.
Now,
Kurt.
Yes, mate.
Have you got a query for our new man, the Gator?
Well, I'm happy I saw Patrick Payne Sr. last Friday there at, where was it, Dave? Ballarat, wasn't it?
Ballarat?
Yeah, the opener at Ballarat on Friday. I was so happy to see Patrick Payne Sr. collect a winner there, mate. It was unreal. I haven't seen him in ages, and he looks fine as a fiddle.
Yeah, his team are flying. They're all running really well. He was beaten narrowly yesterday on one as well. But
Patrick Payne Sr., Dave.
Oh, Sr.
Oh,
yeah,
Paddy.
Yeah.
Good up.
Paddy.
Yeah, he trained
Patrick's a legend.
Ballarat.
Jeez. Now, Dave, I'm with you, mate. Santa Ana Lane's my Everest horse. Is he first up in the shorts?
That's what I'm hearing. May even only have one run into the Everest up and then second up in the Everest. That's the latest I heard, but open to be corrected.
And have you heard that he's going well at home? Because I know public trials, nothing yet, but I heard he's going well at home.
Oh, look, I think the reports have been fabulous from what I've seen on Twitter. I mean, he's an elite, world-class athlete, so he's going to perform on the track, isn't he? So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, and they've really got him right, obviously, now. He's, you know, his early doors, they changed the way they trained him, and it's really turned him around, that horse.
Yeah. Oh, you watch the price we get for this horse, mate. It's going to be great. I love it, Muns. And just one other one, Gator. This is one of mine. Dino knows I love this horse, and he came back beautifully a couple of Wednesdays ago, Dave. Boomstock. That was a beautiful first up wrong run charging through the line there.
Yeah, it was. I haven't done the times and measures on it, but to the eye, it looked terrific, didn't it?
Yeah, and do you know what Mick and Kent Jr. have got him primed for this prep?
Look, I don't know. Obviously,
because he's a 4-year-old now, Gator.
Yeah, that's right. Every weekend that comes by, though, there's nowhere to hide anymore, is there? I mean, there were a couple of benchmark 70s on Saturday, but it gets a bit more pointy every week from here on in, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think they got him aimed for better stuff than that. And just Duff.
Yes, Kurt.
Can I ask you? I don't need to tell you that, you know, Danny Williams is a good trainer down there at Goulburn. Yeah. I saw one horse that I saw that it's going places. It was on debut, Ronnie, last Friday at Goulburn. Or Maruya, mm-hmm. Glamour Strip. Did you see it, Ronnie?
No, I didn't.
Come on, Ronnie. Just lift.
Ronnie spends a bit of time on the Glamour Strip at the coast.
No, 3-year-old filly, Ronnie.
I'll have a look at it on my app now and look it up and make sure I...
Yeah, Kurt, for you, Santa Ana Lane next Monday, Cranbourne Trials. First up Short, second up Everest.
Thanks, Muns.
That's according to the Freedman's Stable.
Yes, Kurt.
Thanks, Muns. And Ronnie, cheerleader the other week at Flemington. Beautiful trial, Ronnie.
Cheerleader.
In good heat trials, not rubbish horses against good horses, Ronnie.
Right, calling players to the first tee.
Ronnie?
Yes, Kurt. Come on, you're going a bit hard on me. But we got a new bloke here waiting for you. All your,
yeah, well, he got punched around the head early.
Ronnie, I'm coming off the fence, mate. Dennis Lilly style, first up, brother.
Last one.
All I can tell you, Kurt, is you're on the ball. I'm getting text galore. This bloke's been there 3 times in 2 weeks. So this stable, the stables.
Ronnie,
he hasn't got another one at Randwick Racecourse on the fourth floor.
Ronnie, I behave when I go out. Don't worry about that. I'm not some little nitwit. Now, Ronnie, two other ones just quickly, mate.
Two.
Augusto, Chris Waller's new horse that come over here, 4-year-old gelding. Yeah. I love it, Ronnie.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Also the other one I wanted to ask you. This horse I think's underrated. I want to know where it's going. I've loved it ever since it started. Tracy Bartley's Joiny. I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong. Joigny, Joiny.
Okay, I'll have a look, but I don't know where they're going.
Well, with Tracy's one, Ronnie, I want to know if it's going to the provincials or the provincials championships.
Well, it's won its last two starts at Wyong on the 13th of July and the 23rd of July, so probably not too far away of having another run.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. We've got to fade him out, unfortunately. I know he could go for another hour or so. What'd you make of him, Gator? That's your first attempt with Kurt.
Sorry. Back. Yeah, no, I've got the restraining order. Yeah, it doesn't work.
I've got to be honest. He's a good raccoon spotter. He can spot them. They're obscure. They're obscure, but they've got some ability.
I think you've got him measured on the run and the bike, Gator, but I don't think you'll measure him on the swim.
Yeah, up against it. Hey, Gator, thanks very much for your time, mate.
Been a pleasure.
David Gately joining us here from Melbourne. Dean Lester, we're wishing him a speedy recovery. He's hopefully on the upward spiral after a little bit of a health setback, and we all know we love Dino, and we wish him all the very best. Good to have the Gator on board as well on Monday morning. Wow, Duffy gave you the punch around the head as well, so we'll let you go and recover.
Yeah, Glenn, we need a meeting at the stables. We've got to organise this new show.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, my people will talk to your people. I just said there's a bottle of Chardonnay there for 120. That's got your name on it anyway.
I can tell you what we need. We need a sponsor to take us.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Glenn's good at finding a sponsor.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Thanks, Glenn.
See you guys.
Hit them straight. It's breezy outside. So David Gately, Ronnie Duffersey, Glenn Munsey joining us on Punters Postmortem. Nice to be back. Nice to be taking your calls and your queries and your text messages. But